when people are trying to achieve a goal, they usually ask one question and they need to be asking two. Okay. When people are trying to achieve something in their lives, the main thing that they ask and they want to know is, what do I need to do? Lisa, what do I need to do to lose this weight? What do I need to do to get off this medication? What do I need to do to start my business? What do I need to do to get clients in my business? What do I need to do? So the main question people ask is, what do I need to do? And that is a good question to ask. Now, there's a science to asking good questions, but in general, it's a good question to ask. What do I need to do? However, the second question that people need to be asking when they're trying to accomplish a goal that they rarely ask is, who do I need to become? Everybody wants to know, what do I need to do? And nobody's asking, who do I need to become? More specifically, clear expectations of what was going to be required of me. Who do I need to become? Lisa, you need to optimize your health. You need to get rid of sugar. You need to work out regularly. You need to sleep well. You need to fuel up. Like, you need to be in the best physical shape of your life. Who do I need to become? Lisa, you need to master your emotions. You need to get your EQ up. I don't know where it is right now, but it probably ain't high enough. Get your emotional intelligence up, because being a business owner can be an extreme roller coaster ride. And if you're not in control of your emotions, you're going to make more emotional decisions than data-driven decisions, and that can be detrimental to your business. Just because someone can live with a disease doesn't mean they should. The overwhelming majority of prescriptions written today are written to treat lifestyle disease. Lifestyle disease is defined as conditions which can be attributed to the way in which a person lives. This includes things like physical activity, drinking, smoking, stress, the quality of our social connections, sleep, purposeful and professional alignment, and of course, our diet. But what if there was an alternative? What if before putting pen to pad, we had a comprehensive solution in lieu of pills and procedures? You are listening to the Plant Protocol Podcast for current and aspiring health professionals who are done with simply managing chronic lifestyle challenges and are interested in taking a whole food, plant-based approach to combating them. I'm your host, Lisa A. Smith. It's time to come get this health. Today, I want to talk about the three things I wish I had before starting my coaching business. You know, running a business is a beast. It's a unique situation that not a lot of people have the privilege of doing, you know, and not everybody should try, okay? But one of the things that those of us who are doing it and doing it fairly well do have a responsibility of doing is sharing, you know, like sharing our best practices, sharing our pro tips, sharing, you know, part of our journey and things that we can do to help other people's journey be much easier. And so today I want to share with you guys the three things I wish I had before starting my coaching business. Now, let me be crystal clear. Coaching is super, super popular, and it's only getting more popular by the minute, y'all. Like, it's in the top three of one of the fastest growing industries. And so whether you plan on health coaching like me, business coaching like me, or coaching in some other area, it might be life coaching, personal development, financial wellness, right? There's like a breadth of areas in which you can coach somebody in, career, all of that stuff, right? It is one of the fastest growing industries. And one of the things that we want to make sure we're doing is getting good as quickly as possible, because coaching is such an intimate sport. It's such an intimate industry, meaning you have to develop really close relationships to your clients in order to get them the result that you promised them. And so what we have to make sure that we're doing as coaches is that we're showing up as prepared as possible, right? There's some things that you can only learn on the job. But what I want to make sure I do here on my channel, on my platform, is make sure I'm preparing all you guys at the best of my ability, making sure you are prepared to be the best version of yourself as a coach. So what I want to break down for you today is the three things I wish I had before I started my coaching business. So let me give you guys a little background. I've been coaching since 2015. I started my first coaching business in 2015. It was an online personal training company. And then I started my second coaching company in 2017, the Black Health Academy. And that's where all of my programs and offers are housed under today, right? So at the Black Health Academy, we offer three coaching programs currently. We have a health coaching program, a plant-based health coaching program, farm to table. We have a business coaching program, The Plant Protocol. And then we also have a personal development mastermind, Clarity. Okay. And so we have three coaching offers at my company. And I've learned a lot over the years coaching, and I'm still learning a lot, right? And so it's not that I necessarily have 20 years of the game and I'm the expert, but there are some people who are starting right now who actually desire to get where I am, right? And so one of the things we got to be careful of is thinking that we're not qualified to share yet, right? One of the things that we have to be really, really careful of believing is that we're not far along enough or we're not successful enough to help somebody else yet. It's not true. Okay, which is part of the reason why you are a coach or you want to be a coach, right? You are in the helping business. And so I decided, you know what, let me make sure I'm disseminating a high quality information to help you guys get to wherever you want to go in your coaching business, at least as far as I've gotten so far, right? I'm going to go much further. So don't believe me, just watch, right? Like, I'm on a trajectory for amazing things. But I want to make sure that you guys are also getting the gems and the nuggets that you need so that you don't make the same mistakes I made. Okay. Sips tea. So let's get into it. The three things I wish I had before starting my health coaching company, my coaching business. Number one is I wish I had someone to tell me that I was enough. Yep. I wish I had someone to tell me that I was already qualified, that I didn't have to spend months and years trying to become qualified. I wish I had someone who could break down to me what a coach actually was, because I thought a coach was just a teacher. Boy, was I wrong, right? And so I thought I didn't know enough to be a coach because I thought coaching was teaching. And so I thought I didn't know enough. So imposter syndrome cost me a lot. Imposter syndrome cost me thousands of dollars because I thought I needed to go back to school to be a doctor. So imposter syndrome cost me thousands of dollars. I went pre-med for 2 years at Wayne State University thinking I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I need to be an MD. I need more letters behind my name before people will respect me, before people will listen to me, right? And so imposter syndrome cost me so much. And so I wish I had had someone to tell me that, Lise, you're already qualified. You don't need to go to school pre-med. Lise, you're already qualified. You don't have to work for free. Lise, you're already qualified. You don't have to wait another year, or another 3 months before you invite people to work. You're already qualified, right? And so I really wish the very first thing I wish I had before starting my coaching company is someone to help talk me off the ledge when my imposter syndrome was telling me that I wasn't good enough. That imposter syndrome will delay so much excellence because I'm going to tell you, one of the most common things we hear from our clients inside of the Plant Protocol, our business coaching program, is when they get a client, one of the very first things they come back to the community and say is, I really surprised myself. I knew way more than I thought I knew. Can anybody relate to this? Like, you're like, whoa, I opened my mouth and it just started spilling out. I didn't know I knew as much as I know, right? And it's because we are spending so much time in our heads thinking about everything we don't know, that we're not taking the time to take inventory on the things, not only that we already know, but the things we already done. Like when people hire coaches, they're hiring you not just for what you know. There's a bunch of people who know what you know, but they're hiring you specifically for what you've done, right? And I wish I had someone in the beginning to help explain that to me so that imposter syndrome would not have taken up so much of my journey, right? So much, because I kept hearing over like, my doctor said. And so I'm like, I'm telling you that we can combat this condition with a plant-based diet. I'm telling you that we can do this. But when somebody says, my doctor said, I let that tell me that I wasn't enough. I'm like, okay, if their doctor is telling them that they have to eat red meat for iron, if their doctor is telling them that this runs in their family and they're just going to have to be on medication, then who am I to tell them something different, right? Who am I, right? I was in Philly this past weekend and I was out to dinner having a conversation with somebody and they were saying the same thing, like, who am I to be doing this? Who am I to think that I can execute on this gigantic project helping literally millions of people? Like, who do I think I am, right? And so I wish I had someone in the beginning of my journey that can take one of those like men in black lights and hold it up to my face and like look into the light. And when I hit this button and you see that light flash, all of this, who am I language and I'm not good enough, you won't even remember that existed. Like you just go, soon as this light goes off, you're just going to go full speed ahead, 0 to 60, leaning into what your gut has already told you to do. So that's number one, okay? The first thing that I had is somebody to tell me that I was already good enough. Okay, number two, sips tea. Y'all know I got my tea, hold on. Okay, the second thing I wish I had before starting my coaching business was business acumen that could give me the clarity that my passion clouded reality created. Like, y'all, I had and still have to this day. Like, let me be very clear. Like, my passion is probably one of the top three things that I get complimented on when I speak, when I teach, when I coach. It's like, oh my God, your passion is so evident. Like, I was in Philly filming something this past weekend, and the cameraman, he was just like, your passion came. No, your passion is very clear. I'm like, okay, cool, right? Because it spills off of me. And so, but what happens is when you are a coach or when you're an aspiring coach, sometimes your passion is taking up so much real estate that we believe, like we start creating beliefs that are not based in reality, okay? And so the second thing that I wish I had was business acumen that can bring some clarity to the cloudiness that my passion created. So what do I mean by that? I thought that like when I started as a coach, that I was going to literally just be like, tell everybody that I could help them with a plant-based diet and tell them about the power of plants and that I was going to have a successful business. I'm like, all I got to do is like put myself out there and we off and running. Like, boom, we about to change everybody's life. Like, I thought I could do a couple complimentary masterclasses, a couple complimentary speaking engagements, and my passion is so excited. People are going to be flocking to this. I'm like, the reason people aren't living this lifestyle is because they just don't know about it. Like, I just got to tell people. I really thought that I could just tell people a few things one time. Here's the thing. I thought I could tell them really good information one time and they would just go running full speed. They'll drop everything else they're doing in their life and they'll commit to getting healthy. Like, girl, shut up. First of all, you need somebody with business acumen to tell you, first and foremost, when it comes to changing humans, if you think you can only tell them one time and they're about to change, you got the whole world messed up. I wish I had enough business acumen at the time to know that you got to repeat yourself 100 times before people be like, okay, I hear you out. Listen, do you guys know, like, the lack of business acumen I had in the beginning of my entrepreneurial journey is insane. I didn't have a marketing strategy. I didn't have a pricing process. I'm like, let me just pull a number off the air and call it my price. What? I didn't have a qualification process. I was just like, everybody can come over here. Like, everybody can work. I can help everybody. Like, no, cancer, that's cool. We'll figure it out. Type 2 diabetes, don't even worry about it, right? Autoimmune disease, I learned it as I go. Like, girl, no business acumen. Ain't nobody tell me about specializing. Ain't nobody tell me about qualifying people. Ain't nobody tell me about pricing. Ain't nobody tell me about a marketing strategy. And I was just like, my passion will solve all the problems. Is anybody else? This is laughable, y'all. My passion will solve all the problems. Like, girl, no, you starting a whole business and you need business acumen, okay? You need to know how to put an offer together. You need to know how to leverage opportunity. You need to know how to create opportunity. You need to understand that you're going to have to repeat yourself 1,000 times before 80% of the people in your audience is willing to listen to you. You have to be properly priced so that you can't just make money, but that you can have profit. Lord, who knew there was a difference between revenue and profit? Like, so many things, so many things. So the thing I wish I would have invested in earlier in my entrepreneurial journey and at the start of my coaching company was a coach to help me with business acumen. I thought because I was in love with my subject matter, that that's all I needed. As a matter of fact, at that time in my business years ago, I was spending like 99% of my time during Con Ed, like 99% of my Con Ed is a better way of saying this. So 99% of my Con Ed was on my subject matter. If y'all don't know what Con Ed is, that's continuing education. So I'm big on studying, learning something new every day, just, you know, being an expert in my lane. And so 99% of my continuing education at that time was on nutrition science and on lifestyle science. I'm like, I got to better understand the anatomy of the body. I got to better understand the brain. I got to better understand macro and micronutrients. I got to better understand. And it's like, if you don't take some of this nutrition continuing education and get into business, like, you can't just study the stuff that excites you. You got to study the stuff that you don't know so that you can have a successful business. And so I wish I would have started studying business earlier and not just thinking that I could be a successful coach because I had done the thing that I'm selling to people. Like, yeah, but you got to know how to package it into an offer that's attractive. You got to know who you're selling it to. You got to know the profile of the person you're selling it to so you can speak directly to them in your non-existent marketing plan that you also need to create. Like, what? Like, why ain't nobody tell me? I thought I was just going to be able to talk about plants all day. I thought I was just going to be able to talk about fruits, vegetables, whole grains, nuts and seeds, and how great I felt, and everybody's going to want to do it. Like, girl, no. Okay, so the second thing I wish I had that in the start of my coaching business was business acumen. Like, there's processes and their strategy behind having a successful business lease. It's not just because the founder is passionate. That is not the key to success. Just because the founder comes to tears when she gets to talking about this stuff, that's not enough to sell an offer repeatedly that generates profit in your business, okay? So there needs to be strategy. There needs to be processes. There needs to be automation, right? There needs to be systems. Who knew? Who knew? I remember when I first started the Black Health Academy in 2017, I was like, this is going to be a membership-based model, and we're going to have 3 membership tiers, and people are going to pay monthly for this content. Y'all want to know what happened to that membership model? Just FYI, today, as we sit, as we speak today, the Black Health Academy is 100% free. Yeah, I'm like, oh, the cost of maintaining this as a revenue-generating item or offer in my business is too much. It was so overwhelming that I was like, I would rather make this free and like just let this be the way I serve the people who can't afford me than to try and squeeze a couple pennies out of a bunch of people every month. Like, it was just too much. So it's just business acumen. Like, I didn't know. I'm like, I'll rather solve one big problem for an amount versus trying to solve tiny problems for nominal amounts. Does that make sense? Like, it was just too much. So I'm just like, Lord, give me business acumen quickly. This is the prayers y'all should be praying if you're starting a coaching business. Lord, send somebody, help me, position me in front of the right coach that's going to help me combat my imposter syndrome. Lord, send me business acumen quickly so I don't drive down the quality of my business or run it into the ground because I don't know what I'm doing. That's prayer number 2. Y'all ready for prayer number 3? Okay. Prayer number 3 for your coaching company, okay? The third thing that I wish I had before starting my coaching business was a community of peers and possibilities. I'm about to break this down. A community of peers and possibilities. So one of the things that a lot of marginalized people, let me not talk about people, let me just talk about myself. One of the things that I lacked, okay, was an example of what I was doing, okay? When I say I lacked, I mean like in my ecosystem, in the microcosm that is my little world, right? So I have people that are entrepreneurs around me, but I didn't really have an example of, number one, the type of business that I was creating, which is like an online education business, right? Very different. And I have people in my family who are entrepreneurial, right? They are in position. Like, entrepreneurial means they work for somebody else, but they, maybe their position demands that they act as an entrepreneur. Like, I have an uncle and a cousin, for example, who specialize in sales. And so the majority of the jobs they held over their life, they still have to hunt to eat, meaning most of their jobs were commission-based. So they had to have the same drive as if they were running their own business. So I had examples like that behind me and in my ecosystem, but I did not have a person, let alone a community of peers. So peers means I have people who are doing what I'm doing, right? So that I have a like-minded community to exist in, okay? I also didn't have a community of possibilities. So possibilities means that I have a coach who forms or who acts as my possibility model, who can, number one, give me something to aspire to, but then number two, help me see all my blind spots when it comes to all the possibilities that I had to grow my business. So I'm about to give you 2 examples around this because they're really big examples. The third thing I wish I had is a community of peers and possibilities. Peers and possibilities. This is so important, y'all. So peers is, again, somewhere where we can struggle together, right? Where when things get hard or when things get confusing or when imposter syndrome starts creeping up, you know, I can have a peer who's on the same trajectory as me. They're starting their business. They're starting their coaching business. And we're all working toward the same goal, and that we can lean on each other in those human moments, right? So your peers are not for strategy. Your peers are for personal development, right? So having a community of peers is important because they don't have the strategy, but they absolutely are feeling what you're feeling. And most of you guys already know the power of being in an ecosystem where you have individuals who are going through the same. It's like going to a workout class. You know what I mean? You go to the same class every week. You see the same people and y'all all sweating together. We all trying to get this weight off together. We all trying to build these muscles together. Like, y'all know the power of community, right? And so they don't have a strategy either. They don't have any shortcuts. They're not further along than you, but we are peers, right? And so that camaraderie, that sense of belonging really aids in helping you to stay on the journey. When you get to a part that's hard for you, that wasn't as hard for them, they're going to cheerlead you along, right? They're going to tell you how they got through it, or they're going to tell you why it was easier for them. And they're going to help you, and they're going to hold you accountable to that, right? So I wish I had had a community of peers that were also building coaching businesses that I could have leaned on in those really vulnerable human moments, okay? But then I also wish I had a community of possibilities. Hey, coach, pardon the interruption, but if you're enjoying this episode, you're going to love this even more. Did you know that every month I teach a complimentary coaching business masterclass telling you all of the strategies and best practices that I've personally used to develop a successful coaching business? That's right. If you're wondering how to specialize, how to put an offer together, how to develop mastery around the nutrition and lifestyle science, if you're trying to figure out how to create curriculum, how to even coach, then you need to be in my monthly coaching business masterclass. And not only do I teach you the business strategies of what I've done to develop a successful coaching business, but I also teach you the mindset strategies. So every month I'm delving out business and mindset. I tell you what to do, and then I share with you who you need to become. If that sounds like something you need, make sure you click the link in the show notes to get registered for our next one. I'll see you there. Now back to the show. So a community of possibilities means that this is typically in the form of a coach who, number one, acts as a possibility model, right? They have gotten to a level of business or gotten to a level in whatever your goal is, and they are literally showing you in real time what's available to you if you keep going. They are literally showing you in real time what's available to you if you don't quit. They are literally showing you in real time what's available to you if you don't give up. If you ignore those stories that your brain keeps trying to tell you about why you're not good enough and why you're not enough. So a possibility model is going to be like, I was where you are. Here's what I've done to get to where I am. And most importantly, though, not just what I've done. So you got what I've done, which is strategy, but also a possibility model is going to tell you who you have to become, what you need to believe. The number one thing typically we need from a possibility model and a coach when we first start is belief. It's belief, right? And so a possibility model or a community of possibilities is going to give you that belief. Usually our lapse in consistency is coming from a lapse in our belief systems, okay? So we do something one time, we don't circle back around to it for months. We inquire about something, but we don't follow through. Like, we have all these lapses in our beliefs. And so a great coach and a possibility model is going to help correct that for you. So let me give you two examples on what I mean by this, because here's what's so crazy. What's so crazy is that when I first started my coaching company, I was thinking small. But I wasn't thinking small because I was afraid to think big. Like, there's two primary reasons we think small, okay? The first is that we're thinking small because we're afraid to think big. We're afraid to think bigger. Like, thinking bigger, imagining more is really, really scary for a lot of people. That wasn't my problem, okay? I was thinking as big as I thought I could think at the time. So the second reason that people typically think small is because they haven't been exposed to anything bigger. They don't even know how big they could be thinking. So let me give you an example, okay? And this is why a community of possibilities was so, so helpful for me when I started hiring coaches. Is because, for example, I now am entertaining deals and opportunities with organizations, when you start off as a coach, it's 9 times out of 10 direct to consumer, right? Just helping other people who want to get to where you are, maybe with their health, with their business, with their finances, in their life, whatever, right? When you start coaching, most of us think of coaching as like one-to-one or one-to-many. You might do group coaching, but it's directly to people who are typically, I don't want to use a word that's demeaning, but like, I was going to say beneath you, but y'all know what I mean, right? Like not where you are. You're typically helping people who want to get to where you want to be, right? I was just imagining how far I could take that, okay? But when I got a possibility model and when I started hiring coaches who had successful coaching companies, they introduced me to the fact that I can even take what I was doing and take it to organizations and take it into the B2B sector and take it into like healthcare provider. I'm like, I was just a little coach who was trying to help somebody with their hypertension. I can do what? Right? They helped show me what my possibilities were. Like I did not even consider licensing until it was suggested to me by a coach. They're like, you know, you've built this curriculum in your health coaching program. Yeah, you can keep using it as a curriculum with people who want to get healthy, but did you know you could actually shop this to organizations and doctors and license your curriculum? I'm like, whoa, a community of possibilities, right? There's so many things that we don't even have the wherewithal to think of because we haven't been exposed to it. So I was thinking small, not by choice. Some of y'all think small by choice. Well, that's a whole nother conversation now. Shame on you, right? But I wasn't thinking small by choice. I was thinking small just because of lack of exposure. So a community of possibilities, I wish I would have invested in that much earlier because someone would have helped me to see that there's a ton of ways that you can leverage this skill set. There's a ton of ways. So now I'm like 2024 is about to be crazy, like insane, right? Because I've had coaches who have made it evident to me like, Lisa, you are officially a subject matter expert. You're a subject matter expert. You have these receipts with doing these great things for people. You can leverage that this way. You can leverage that in licensing. You can leverage that in partnerships. You can leverage that in all these different ways. And I'm just like, yo, like you can leverage the fact that you built a successful coaching business, a successful coaching program, and now turn into a business coach. Now, I came up with that on my own. I'm like, what are many more ways that I can leverage the success I've had here? Right. And so sometimes when we're trying to DIY everything, when we're trying to do everything ourselves, it's just a lack of exposure that keeps us thinking small. So a community of peers is going to help you in those vulnerable moments, but a community of possibilities is going to show you what's potentially available to you, right? And it's so funny. An example of this is we have a coach inside of the Plant Protocol, and she came to one of our coaching calls recently, and she's like, I have the opportunity at the top of the year to lead a plant-based program for an organization that I'm a part of, right? And she was just sharing that as a win. So, you know, I tell my coaches when we come to live class, like, put your hands up. We want to hear your wins, right? Like, what's going well? Let's celebrate you. What's up? So she wasn't asking for help. She was just sharing a win. But I put my coaching hat on so fast. I'm like, wait. We got an opportunity to do what? Okay, first of all, balloons. Okay, yay, fireworks. But also, I want you to know, here's how we can leverage this into a bigger opportunity for you. I'm like, here's what I want you to do. Then I want you to post this in a Facebook group for me to review. And then if we need to, we'll hop on a one-on-one call because I'm going to tell you exactly how to execute this so that number one, you can get clients from it into your program. And number two, so that you can leverage it into a long-term relationship with the organization. She's like, whoa, would have probably never thought of that. That's the power of being in a community of possibilities, right? And so it's just so important that, you know, we start thinking like when we're starting something new, we don't let our own limiting mindset and our own limiting beliefs tell us that we shouldn't invest in ourselves or that, you know, we're not good enough and all this stuff, all these stories that come up, right? And so those are the three things that I wish I had before I started my coaching business. Number one, someone to tell me I was enough and more than qualified, right? Someone to help me when I was having all of these bouts of imposter syndrome, okay? Number two, a business acumen to match all my passion because I really thought we were going to save the world. My stuff wasn't priced right. My offer wasn't packaged right. didn't know who I was talking to, didn't have a marketing strategy, hadn't mastered sales, didn't know how to close the deal. All I knew is all of the health information to help a client. But how you gonna help a client and you don't know how to get a client? Lord, make it make sense. So I really wish I had more business acumen early on, and then I hadn't spent as much time with continuing education just on my subject matter, but I actually zoomed out and wish I would have studied business more and things that would have made me better as an overall CEO and not just as a coach. And then the third thing I wish I had when I started my coaching company is a community of peers to help me when I was feeling real human and vulnerable, and a community of possibilities, which are coaches who are where you want to be, who can open your eyes to all of the opportunities that are available to you and ways that you can structure your business for long-term success. So I have all of those things now, right? But I wish I would have had them much earlier. And then the final thing that I would probably say, let me give y'all a bonus one, because, you know, overachiever. I would say the final thing that I wish I had before I started my coaching company was a blueprint and clear expectations. So let me break this down. When people are trying to achieve a goal, I have a podcast episode about this. I have two podcast episodes about this. When people are trying to achieve a goal, they usually ask one question and they need to be asking two. Okay. When people are trying to achieve something in their lives, the main thing that they ask and they want to know is, what do I need to do? Lisa, what do I need to do to lose this weight? What do I need to do to get off this medication? What do I need to do to start my business? What do I need to do to get clients in my business? What do I need to do? So the main question people ask is, what do I need to do? And that is a good question to ask. Now, there's a science to asking good questions, but in general, it's a good question to ask. What do I need to do? And the thing that answers that question is typically a blueprint, right? And so one of the things I wish I had, we're in a bonus round now. So one of the things I wish I had before I started my coaching company was a blueprint. I wish I had invested in somebody who had already tracked the journey that they took and put it down in a linear, you know, curriculum type format to follow. That's called a blueprint, right? So that blueprint answers the question, what do I need to do? What do you need to do, aspiring coach? Here's the blueprint. Okay, so that's what I've done inside the Plant Protocol. How do you have a successful plant-based coaching program, plant-based coaching business? Here's the blueprint. That's our curriculum. My curriculum is my blueprint to what I've done. However, the second question that people need to be asking when they're trying to accomplish a goal that they rarely ask is, who do I need to become? Everybody wants to know, what do I need to do? And nobody's asking, who do I need to become? So the final thing that I wish I would have had before starting my coaching business is the answer to that question. More specifically, clear expectations of what was going to be required of me. Who do I need to become? Lisa, you need to optimize your health. You need to get rid of sugar. You need to work out regularly. You need to sleep well. You need to fuel up. Like, you need to be in the best physical shape of your life. Who do I need to become? Lisa, you need to master your emotions. You need to get your EQ up. I don't know where it is right now, but it probably ain't high enough. Get your emotional intelligence up, because being a business owner can be an extreme roller coaster ride. And if you're not in control of your emotions, you're going to make more emotional decisions than data-driven decisions, and that can be detrimental to your business. So I wish I would have had someone to tell me not just what I needed to do, that's the blueprint, but who I needed to become. You need to become fit. You need to be sharp. You're dealing in an industry that's based in a lot of science. You need to have access to all of it in your brain. I need you to eat right. I need you to drink right. And I need you to sleep right. Okay, you're also doing something that is very, very volatile. You're running a business. So I need you to get your EQ up so that when you feel emotions, you don't make decisions. Who do I need to become? Lisa, you're doing something that the statistics say most people fail at within the first year or the first 5 years, i.e. running a business. I need you to get your faith up. Come on now. This is the part y'all be coming for right here. Who do I need to become? I need to become somebody who was the absolute best version of myself physically and mentally. I need to become somebody who has extreme emotional intelligence so that I make data-driven decisions. And I need to become somebody whose faith muscle is the strongest muscle on their body. I wish I would have had somebody who could tell me not just what to do, but who I needed to become, right? And so that's what I try and do with my clients inside the Plant Protocol. We just had a lesson in our most recent class where I broke down for them this method called the AAA method of how I got success and clients and opportunities in my business. That was me telling them what to do. But before that, I told them who they needed to become. And we talked heavily about leadership, heavily. Like, I need you to understand I'm grooming y'all to become leaders, not just to become coaches. And here's the characteristics of a leader. And here's what a leader does. And here's what a leader needs to master. And here's the three things that a leader is responsible for. I shared all that with my coaches in our last class because I'm not about to just be in here giving y'all the blueprint of how to have a successful coaching business and y'all don't understand who you need to be. Like, blueprints are useless if you don't understand the person, the qualifications of the person who can execute the blueprint. Does that make sense? Like, when you are trying to do something in your life, y'all, and you have the opportunity, like, you might get a couple minutes with somebody who is about to give you some advice. You might reach out and ask for time on somebody's calendar. Don't just ask them what you need to do. If they are a possibility model and they've done the thing you're trying to do, ask them who you need to become. Because sometimes, especially if they're not a coach, they're just like giving you advice. They don't even have the skill set to understand the level you're on. And the advice is going to be either way too broad to be meaningful for you, or it's not going to be on the level that you're on, right? And so the more appropriate question that somebody can help you with, if you don't have a lot of time, but you have the opportunity to get advice from somebody, is going to be, who do I need to become? What do I need to believe? Because you can get the blueprint, but you know how many people have the blueprint and still quit? You know how many people have the blueprint and still give up? Do you know how many people have the blueprint and still don't execute? Now, how is it? How is it? Because the reason people invest in the blueprint is because somebody else used the blueprint and got success. So how is it that she, he, her, they, them got success with the blueprint, but I'm over here stumbling? And then what we want to do is blame the blueprint. No, it ain't the blueprint fault, okay? It's your fault, all right? Because you're trying to execute the blueprint with the same level of consciousness that you had before you had the blueprint. So you need somebody to elevate your consciousness. You need somebody to help you to become the version of you that can execute on a blueprint. Does that make sense? Okay, I'm gonna assume it does. All right, so those are the things that I needed before I started my coaching company. I hope it's helpful for you guys to better understand that as well. And what I've done and what you'll do as a coach, well, here's what a great coach should do, okay? Is that you're gonna help the people who wanna get to where you are, okay? And I want you to take a really, really long, hard look at your journey. And I want you to reverse engineer, like really look back and say, what did I have that helped me to get to where I am? And what didn't I have that I wish I would have had? And I want you to package that into an offer, okay? Like, the reason the plant protocol is what it is today, and the reason we like don't just do nutrition science, but we also do high amount of personal development. We also do a high amount of business acumen, is because when I got a plant-based certificate, they didn't offer that. All I did was put in the plant protocol what I wish I would have had when I was where they are. And that's what great coaches do. They package their results, because you should only be coaching if you have a result. You should never coach from theory. You package your results, but then also you then add special sauce by adding the thing you wish you would have had. Does that make sense? And so for me, it was all about not just what you need to do, but the reason we do so much personal development inside the plant protocol is because I need them to understand who they need to become. Like, we just had a student recently, she posted in our Facebook group, the plant protocol. She's in phase two of our curriculum, and phase two is the personal development phase. And she's in the group breaking down like, oh, after doing this assignment, I understand the childhood trauma that is still plaguing me today that led to my decision, that has led to me being, she said, cluttered, overwhelmed, and a procrastinator. We're getting, I don't know if y'all business coaching programs, I don't know if y'all plant-based certifications do this, but this is what we do at the Plant Protocol. We're getting to the root of how she became to be who she is today. We're getting to the root of how she makes decisions today. And now she has an exit strategy from that version of herself. She also has an enter strategy into the new version of herself. And now we're going to use that blueprint to make sure she's the most healthiest version of herself before she starts inviting a ton of people to work with her. That personal development work. I wish I would have, when I was getting my certification, and I was getting all this education, that there was aspects of those programs that did that, right? And so I'm like, well, at least what's a wish? You know what I'm saying? Just create it, okay? So this is so important. And so this is what I want you guys to understand. Like, so I hope this was useful. Please share this with someone who needs to hear it and maybe come back and take notes if you're in the process of creating a coaching business, so you'll know where you should be investing your time, where you should be investing your money, where you should be investing your attention so that you can have a successful coaching business. Love y'all and bye y'all. You tuned in today because like me, you're a disruptor. You're passionate about health and you have firsthand experience of taking a whole food plant-based approach to combating chronic health challenges. You want to see lifestyle and dietary modifications become the norm in the way in which we practice healthcare. However, you need mastery around nutrition and lifestyle science, a better understanding of behavior change to improve client compliance, and confidence in your ability to effectively coach clients to adopting those lifestyle modifications. You need the Plant Protocol. Visit theplantprotocol.com to apply and let's work together to improve the way in which we care for our most prized possession, our health. Thank you so much for listening today. If you enjoyed what you heard, please consider rating and reviewing this podcast. Until next time, remember, radical obedience is still undefeated. Stay obedient.